we are happy to be joined on the program by a former college basketball player. He's the author of a number of books, including Moonflower, Joining the Choir, Invisible, and his newest that is an absolutely wonderful read, Darling, You're Not Alone. We welcome in J.D. Slacker. J.D., thanks for being with us.
Oh, Rich, it's such an honor to be with you and be with your broadcast, man. I miss the New England area myself. It's a home away from home for me, but yeah, it's a pleasure to be here.
Well, you've got quite an interesting story yourself. You were a college basketball player, a gaucho at UC Santa Barbara. Did you, where along the line did you decide you wanted to be a writer?
Yeah, well, I mean, as any writer's journey sort of begins, I think the origins of that story are always a little trickier and less direct, because writing is such an odd and maybe more off the beaten path career choice. But, you know, basketball is sort of where my story begins. And it was sort of the thing that got me through some good times, some bad times. But, you know, I was never really the student that would go on to become a writer. Like, I was just sort of someone who got by in school enough to just continue to play basketball. And I was fortunate enough to compete at Phillips Exeter Academy in New Hampshire, not too far from where you're at, and then ultimately was recruited back home to play at UC Santa Barbara, where I grew up, you know, about 2 hours south in Los Angeles. And yeah, I had an incredible career at UCSB and made some incredible friendships and bonds. But, you know, to be honest, it was through a relationship with a young boy with sickle cell disease named Luke Bodden, who was my biggest fan as an athlete, that sort of gave me the inspiration and idea to become a writer. And he ultimately passed away at the age of 10 years old. And I think at that point, Rich, I sort of had a great awakening in myself where I decided, you know what, maybe playing basketball isn't the thing that I need to keep doing. And so I felt like I had to tell his story. And yeah, that ended up becoming my first book. Moonflower was the inspiration behind it, was this young child who was my biggest fan as an athlete. So it kind of bridged that, those two different parts of my lives pretty easily.
Well, it's certainly a life-changing event for you. And I love, can you share part of the story of the first time you got to meet Luke face-to-face?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that story is one that I share frequently, as you can imagine, but it's so important, you know, because it was so, I mean, it was just so incredible. But I was growing up in the Los Angeles area, as I mentioned, and I was going to Oak Park High School in Northern LA, and I was a 17-year-old kind of wide-eyed kid, and, you know, the only person I really cared about was myself. And this girl who I'd never met before came up to me and said, hey, you know, this is after one of my high school games. She said, hey, my little brother is 6 years old and he's your biggest fan. And I sort of said, you know, that's amazing. You know, I would love to meet him. And she said, yeah, I would love that too. It actually has to happen next week. And I said, well, why does it have to happen next week? And she said, because my little brother is 6 years old and he has something called sickle cell disease. And the last thing that he wants to do before he has to go into the hospital for a full year of isolation for a bone marrow transplant is meet you and play basketball with you. And, you know, that sort of started the bond that became really my calling card in life, was to tell stories that I felt like were worthy of being shared with the world. And, you know, something I share with Luke's mom even to this day is I will not stop until the world knows the bravery and passion Luke lived with and know Luke's story. So it's become a big part of my life. It's sort of carrying the torch of the inspiration he gave me and trying to share that with as many people as possible.
We're talking with J.D. Slacker. The new book is so good, Darling, You're Not Alone. I mean, it's called a YA novel. Well, you know, I've been a long time since I've been a young adult, and I absolutely loved it. And I love the premise behind it, which is this philosophical notion that if extraordinary darkness exists, then so must extraordinary light. What a concept.
Yeah, you know, and I'm glad you enjoyed the novel as well, Rich. I think that concept was one that was fascinating to me for of a multitude of reasons, because I think, you know, it really isn't too groundbreaking, yet it is sort of a massive movement, and it has become one that, you know, has become sort of my calling card to speak towards. But yeah, I really believe that. I mean, I think so often in life, you know, something I say is we get kind of broadcasted these terrible, tragic events that do happen and we do have to deal with. But I tend to believe that the same is true in the exact opposite way, like in that positive way, yet maybe we just don't hear about them as frequently. And so, Darling, You're Not Alone, my new book is, you know, I sort of take this terrible tragic event that is a school shooting, and I sort of match it with what I hope is something that can maybe help someone find some inspiration out of what is a terrible thing, and hopefully find some hopeful and encouraging notes to it too. But yeah, the book was one that was a labor of love. It took a lot of years and effort to put together, but I'm really pleased with how it all turned out. I'm really glad you enjoyed the story too.
Well, I'm a high school teacher, and man, you captured those people and what their lives are like. Obviously, it wasn't that long ago you were there, but to be able to write dialogue that sounds like it's real coming from high school students is no small feat.
Yeah, I enjoyed that bit of the story quite a bit. I mean, I think, you know, I mean, you can attest to this yourself being in that environment on a daily basis, but high school is such a pivotal time of our lives where the relationships and conversations and situations we find ourselves in end up sort of really kind of morphing who we become as adults. And my main character, Phoenix, is no different. I mean, I wanted to really plant the reader into a place where you read and experience what a character is going through, you know, in his internal thoughts, and sort of get to know what this small town of Darling, Colorado, where the story takes place, really feels like. And yeah, I mean, it's because I think when you're that age too, Rich, like anything going on in your world feels like the most important and biggest thing ever. Mm. And that's sort of just what being 16 years old is about. And, you know, your first love and your first failed exam and your first prom. And I wanted a character that kind of goes through these sort of standard happenings that we all can relate to, but he also has some pretty otherworldly things happen in his life too that kind of make it a story worth sharing with the world. But
yeah, Phoenix Ivor is such a wonderful character. We meet him at three stages in his life, and the compelling relationship between Phoenix and his dad. I mean, he's his best friend, and I don't want to give too much away here, but also he at times questions his dad's life choices.
Yeah, I love that bit about it too, because I think, you know, I think like most father-son relationships, and you could really say father or son and mother relationships too, is although our parents are our biggest supporters and the ones that, you know, give us, so they're sort of our first people we meet in the world, we tend to be hardest on them and critique them the most. And as a teenager, that's when that relationship can be especially challenging. And, you know, although Phoenix's dad is sort of this bright and charismatic and hopeful person, Phoenix still tries, you know, he almost sort of finds ways to argue with him and create problems that really aren't there, although he loves his dad a ton. And I think that that's a very relatable thing to a lot of people, because we can be our, you know, harshest on our family members. But I like that Phoenix's father continues to just remain this sort of beam of support for Phoenix throughout the story. And it's one that I enjoyed writing a lot about, Rich, because I'm very close with my own father. And, you know, it's funny, I remember driving around the New England area because my little brother played at Dartmouth, played college basketball there last year. And I was listening to your show actually with my dad in the car. So the irony in talking about him and being back on with you is a pretty cool thing, man.
Well, I want to talk about the parallel project that you've got going, which is so cool, and that's the letter writing project. This is such a wonderful idea, and what, talk about the basis of this and what you're encouraging people to do.
Yeah, you know, it's really simple. I mean, I think any fiction author can attest to this, I'm sure, but for me personally, the greatest fiction can take what is hopefully a really inspiring story and give it some some traction and capability to exist in the real world. And when I wrote Darling, You're Not Alone, there's this magical element that involves these letters that people write to each other. So, you know, and I kind of gathered with my team and we were getting ready to release the book. One of the things we discussed is like, hey, how cool would it be to sort of also in conjunction have this letter writing campaign where people, you know, we ask people after they've read the novel to then go ahead and write a letter to a loved one or anyone they choose to and just sort of let them know that they're not alone too. So that campaign is called the You Are Not Alone letter writing campaign, where pretty simply we just encourage and challenge people that read the book to say, hey, write that letter to your mom or your brother or your teacher or your best friend. And just all we ask is that the first sentence, you just write this simple phrase, you're not alone. And the real power in that, you know, the real gesture and just taking the second to write to someone, we hope can be a real positive wave of good. And yeah, really enjoyed getting to share that with people because I love writing letters, and I think it's a really important thing to do.
And writing them by hand, not using a computer or anything. And Bruce,
right.
Bruce and I were talking before the show or earlier in the show about how much we treasure those notes that we've had from students through the years and anything. I still have boxes of letters that I got when I was a kid because it means so much more when it's in someone's own hand.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like its own. I mean, I've said this, you know, to friends of mine, but I think it's important to share with you now in this forum is just that, you know, books are such a unique thing in that it's really a one-to-one with you and the author. And it's sort of a really personal moment because you're sharing these sort of written words with one-on-one people. And I think letters, handwritten letters, almost have that similar staying power with the people you write them to. Like they feel so personal and so sort of direct in that way. And I think it is something that has been sort of lost in today's world of texts and emails and phone calls. But I'm on a sort of a mission to try and unearth that old hat medium of the letter writing. And I'm very passionate about it, as you can tell. And I think it's one that I'm hoping to really make into a massive movement.
Yeah, hi, this is Bruce. And I wanted to echo something about that I think is great. I'm a fiction writer myself. And one of the things that a mentor said to me once was, there's no such thing as writer's block. There's writer's resistance. And if you're having trouble on what you're working, sit down, get a pencil and a piece of paper or a pen and write someone a letter. And Bob, before you're done with that letter, you'll be back on track.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, you know, maybe yes, maybe no. But I found it to be very, very true. And when I teach writing, my students will say to me, boy, that was a great tip. I wrote a letter. I'm never going to send it because I was really mad at the guy. Or they'll say, I really wanted to explain how I felt to somebody. It was really important. And that made me do that. And that made me think about my story. And so I think if people would just write more letters in general, we would live in a much better society.
Yeah, Bruce. Well, thank you for sharing that. I mean, I totally agree. And I actually do follow that same method of, loosening up the writing muscle, if you will. But, you know, my career as a writer actually began through writing letters. I used to just write letters to friends all the time. And I sort of found myself writing so many more letters than people were able to respond to, where I sort of had the thought, well, maybe I should just go ahead and write a book. Instead of writing these 5-6 page letters to people all the time. And yeah, I ended up doing that.
Or an epistolary novel. That could be the next thing, right? A novel in letters. That would be great.
Now, you also, I understand, JD, you write your first draft of your books in longhand using a mechanical pencil.
Yeah, that is a very true statement, Rich. It's something that it even sounds strange to hear out loud because, yeah, it sounds kind of crazy, but yeah, I mean, it's become a real part of my process for a multitude of reasons. And I'd say the one being just that it's so meditative, you know, it's so kind of mentally clearing and freeing to just have the pen and the pencil and the page. And I think that stepping away from technology for me has been a real blessing in terms of my writing and my freedom of creativity. But it's definitely not something that my editors are fond of, and I've had to sort of you know, negotiate with people to allow me to continue to do that. Because, yeah, I did that with my first book, Moonflower, and I did the same with joining the Choir Invisible and now Darling, You're Not Alone. So I think people are starting to accept that's just sort of how I do it. But it has taken some years of negotiation, let's just say that.
You also do a lot of speaking. I've caught online a couple of your addresses to groups. So what do you find rewarding about sharing what you've learned, especially with a younger audience?
Oh, man, I love being asked to give speeches in, you know, all over the place. And it really is probably the thing I enjoy the most about what I get to do. Because I really feel like I get so much out of it myself. I think a lot of people sort of really fear public speaking, and it sort of exhausts them. But to me, I actually have the exact opposite sort of takeaway. Like, in fact, I almost feel so energized, and I feel like my cup is so full following a talk. Because, you know, the thing I enjoy the most about it is really sharing my story in a way that hopefully reaches kids, to tell them, hey, look, I wasn't some gifted writer, or I wasn't some gifted athlete, or this wasn't, you know, just handed to me the things I've been able to achieve and hope to achieve from here. I just worked at it and loved it, and didn't let people that told me I wasn't good enough or didn't have the skill set to do something stop me. And, you know, another part of my story that I love to do is share my stories with great friends of mine that I've had and met over the years. One of them is Duncan Robinson. And I know, I'm sure all your listeners are familiar with him. And I got the chance to play with Duncan at Exeter for a brief summer before he left for Williams. And I tell his story all the time. And I talk about how when I knew Duncan, he was, you know, headed to a Division III school, and now he's a multi-million dollar NBA athlete. And I get to share all these stories with these kids, hopefully let them know, hey, you know what, like, I could be that person, or I could do what he's doing. And I love that. I mean, I don't think there's really anything more important than that we do. And obviously, if you're, you know, a teacher and you're in a classroom on a daily basis, you know exactly what I'm talking about, because you interact with these kids all the time. And I think it's so important to let them know that they can be whatever they want in life.
Well, I love the message you're putting out there in the world. The book is terrific. Darling, You're Not Alone. You can learn more about the letter writing project as well by going to the website, darlingyournotalone.com. JD, it's been great talking with you. Thank you so much for making some time for us today.
Oh, Rich, thank you for having me, Bruce. Thank you as well. I would love to come back at some point, man. I really enjoyed talking with you guys. You have a great, great show. And yeah, all the best.
All right. Thank you very much, JD. We appreciate it. JD Slackard, again, the book is Darling, You're Not Alone.